Hello, I'm Carolyn Kellerman in Columbia, Maryland, with my co-host Judy Templeton for Razzle Dazzle Radio. The word of the day is pivot. Yep, that's what we're doing during this horrible COVID time. We are pivoting from one career to the other. And we have three guests who are just doing that. Tim Jerome, a Tony-nominated actor, a veteran of musicals on Broadway. Wow, what's he doing? He's bringing musicals now through the radio, and he's going to talk about that. And then we have two of my favorite homegrown actors. I love them both. Caroline Bowman, beautiful Ilsa from Frozen, and Alan Wiggins. I love this guy. He's helped so many times with the AIDS benefits. Hello to everyone. I'm turning it over to Judy.
Hello, everyone. And I, too, am honored to have these guests. And I guess one of the benefits of the pandemic is that we're able to reach out to so many stars and, as Carolyn said, homegrown artists that have gone on to other places and hear what they're doing now. At the college, there's a saying that says you can get there from here. So where are you? That's what we want to know first. So Caroline, my granddaughter would be over the moon right now to know that I'm interviewing Ilsa. I adore you too, and your mom, of course. So let's talk about past, present, and future with all of you. So tell us a little bit about your colorful past and how it's led you to the present.
Oh my goodness.
I know, in 10 words or less, Caroline. I'm
right, I know, I'll try to keep it brief. I grew up in Howard County, Maryland. I went to Glenall High School, and I grew up with the best drama teacher on the planet, who actually happened to be Toby Ornstein's sister, the owner of Toby's Dinner Theater. So I had a connection with performing in Howard County, and I started performing professionally, actually with Alan Wiggins, who you're going to talk to next. I was in my very first professional show at Toby's Dinner Theater when I was 16. So when I was in high school, I was learning how to hustle right away, how to do this crazy business show. Oh, thank you. So yeah, I was not only performing in the shows at Toby's, but also learning the restaurant industry and how to wait tables while you're performing, which, you know, as an actor, we all know that's a pivot we sometimes have to take as well. So, and then I went to Penn State University, also with Alan Wiggins. I got a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Musical Theater and have gone all around the world performing. I've been to China and then Istanbul, Turkey, also with Alan Wiggins. We kind of just stick with each other in this career. So it's very cool that we're doing this together. We pivot together. And then, you know, magically, I made my Broadway debut in 2011 in Wicked, and then haven't really stopped since. I've been pretty lucky in the theater world. It actually took a pandemic to stop me, so.
No, we're not gonna talk about that. Like Carolyn said, it didn't stop you, you just took the pivot. And that's what I want to know about, okay? Because this is to inspire others that we can't stop. And we know in the arts, we never do. We just recreate and take
100%.
That pivot. That's what I mean. Tell us where you pivoted to.
Well, that's what I mean by that, is it's taken something as big as a pandemic to stop me performing for now on stage. And that we'll get more into this, in depth into this, but yes, Alan and I and our best friend, Nick Lehan, who's also a Howard County homegrown guy, had a meeting at the beginning of this pandemic and said, what can we do to not only continue our artistic creativity, keep it flowing, but to help other artists continue growing at this time, and how can we give back? And so that has created the Creative Artist Network, as in Caroline, Alan, Nick.
I love it. Great acronym. Great.
We'll get more into that in a little bit after you introduce the next guy.
Okay, and so what is it that, what service are you doing with that?
Maybe Alan could talk about that.
Okay, let's move to Alan. Hi, Alan. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure. Yeah, with the Creative Artists Network, we decided that we wanted to give back to the community that had given us so much.
I love it.
And for all of us, that kind of started with Toby's and the Columbia Center for Theatrical Arts. And so that was kind of the little impetus for this baby that we've created. We're interested in reaching and teaching younger emerging artists, maybe think high school age, teenagers who are just trying to figure out not only what they might want to do for the rest of their lives, but also who they are. You know, it's a very pivotal time in any person's life. And with the pandemic and the loss of school and friends, and for some, we all know that sometimes the young theater artist is not the most popular person in their school. I don't know why they end up being the most popular adult, but the kids haven't figured it out. And so if they've lost this outlet that means so much to them, how can we continue that growth and continue to give them the tools to be successful in this career that maybe they love so much? And we're really coming from the angle of their unique qualities, their instincts, their impulses. That is what's most important. That is what's going to propel a performer forward. We always hear that the best thing that you have to offer is you, your individuality, you know, what makes you special. So if we can tap into that while also expounding some fundamentals that we've learned along the way, that's the dream, you know?
I'd like to ask Tim what he thinks about these guys and talk a little bit about his dream right now.
What I think about what you guys are doing, I have the highest respect for that. I think the whole idea of giving back, you know, once you've had some experience in the industry, once you've been an artist in a professional context, and you realize that there are young people coming up that don't know much about how to get involved, and it is an awkward transition into the field, and especially into the professional field. I mean, I think there are plenty of people who volunteer in their communities to be in community theater productions of one sort or another. But I think that if somebody really has the ambition, a young person really has the ambition, then they need help. They're going to need help all along the way, and mentoring these young kids, teaching them something about what you've learned about moving into the industry is invaluable. And eventually they'll find other mentors who will take them through it. I know in my career, I mean, I was very lucky. I got started very early. I mean, I wasn't intending to go into the business when I graduated high school. I wasn't going into the area at all. I was going to be an electrical engineer and take over my father's business. But all of a sudden, away from home, in an environment where I could do pretty much anything I wanted to elect doing, I got swept up into the theater and into opera. And I started singing opera. And I thought, this is what I want to do. So I ended up going to Manhattan School of Music as a graduate student, realizing while I was at Manhattan School that I didn't want to do opera, that opera wasn't for me, but musical theater was. So I went across the street, and I was fortunate enough to find people and opportunities. And well, I've done 18 Broadway shows, but who's counting? you know, but along the way, and this gets into it, along the way, when I first got to New York, I got involved in making radio drama at a Pacifica radio station called WBAI. And I worked with four of us, worked together and made these radio dramas. For 7 years, we were doing this as volunteers because we just loved it. And I would bring in all my friends from the theater to do parts and stuff like that. And I would direct and produce and do some adaptations of short stories and serializations of novels. And it was great fun. And then I left it behind because guess what? Things took over. I mean, you know, you go from one show to another show and then you're out of town for a long time. You know, you got to be in one place to do one thing like that. So I ended up doing a lot of new musicals. And I realized that there was a real serious systemic problem in the industry, that a lot of these good new musicals were not getting done. New York was too jammed with these new musicals, and no one outside of New York knew that they existed. So I engineered a system, and I started a company in 1984 called National Music Theater Network, which on the one hand, evaluated new musicals. I recruited directors, professional directors, to read and evaluate. And if they recommended a show, it would go into our promotional side. And we would try to get these shows known to producers and developers out in the regions. And we had a catalog of recommended works. And then I started a kind of a series of kind of grabbing actors in regional communities and sending them shows to do like a three show series and things like that. And without going into too much detail, we started a big operation in New York called the New York Musical Theater Festival, NYMPH. And NYMPH got very big. And the board of directors decided they didn't want to go regional anymore, so I was out. And 2 years later, that happened in 2008, when NYMPH got so big that, you know, there was no room for me in the company. So I left, and 2 years later started Main Street Musicals, which is basically took the evaluation program and took the presentation program and started doing it under a different 501. We have now a library of over 200 shows that have been recommended for development by professionals. But who's doing theater now? Nobody's doing theater now. So it occurred to me, hunkering down next door to Carolyn in Maryland, that maybe I could combine the skill set. You know, I did the radio in the 70s, and now I've got all these shows. So I decided to make radio musicals. And the ones that have demos that were made in the studios, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. When a new show is written, the writers go into a studio and they make demos of the musical numbers. So that's what they do. And they send them to me to evaluate the show. And if the show is evaluated and recommended, we have these demos. And so I can use those demos in these radio shows. And all I have to do is drop in the dialogue. So I cut the show down, select the songs I want, throw in the dialogue in a recording session and a Zoom session, and I got a radio musical. Throw in some sound effects, you know? And I've got two excerpts from one of the, I've only done two. I just started a couple months ago getting this thing done. And now I've got five directors who are working with me, and I've got five engineers, mix engineers, audio engineers who are working with me. And now I'm passing these shows out. But there are only two of them that are done, and they're broadcast on Saturdays on WBAI and broadcast on their website, which is WBAI.org. And then we house them on our website, which is MainStreetMusicals.com, which is the library, which actually has all the shows that have studio demos. Not all the shows that are recommended have studio demos, because they were, you know, 20 years ago, they were all cassette tapes and paper scripts. So those are not, I'm going to have to update those, get new materials for those, or otherwise I'm not going to be able to promote them or make radio musicals out of them. But there's one that I just loved, and I brought two cuts from Sundown by Peter Link and Larry Rossler and Joe Bravaco. And it's about Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday and the shootout at the OK Corral. And so I've got the opening scene of that, and then the scene where the Earps meet the Clantons and decide they really don't really like each other very much. So those are the two excerpts that I brought along. But I think we have a real opportunity now to introduce new musicals in this medium. And so maybe when the pandemic ends and people go back to doing live shows, they'll remember these musicals they heard and want to see them up on a stage, full length, instead of cut down to 45, 50 minutes.
What he means to say is he's proud to serve the people of Tombstone and looks forward to working with you in a spirit of cooperation. No extra incentive is necessary. Isn't that what you mean to say, Wyatt?
Wyatt, what I mean to say is you try to buy this sheriff, and you'll be negotiating with the barrel of his shotgun.
Well, Mr. Earp?
Well, Mr. Clanton, looks like
We got a fly in the ointment, a mouse in our trunk.
If you treasure your life...
You have great poise, Dr. Holliday.
Do not force me to go for my gun.
And you seem a bit unsteady on your feet.
Don't let my inebriated state fool you, sir. I am not now, nor ever will be, anyone's easy mark.
Oh, no. Why are you still alive? There's a hole in your jacket leading right to your heart.
This here book in my breast pocket took the hit.
Wow. So creativity is taking on a whole new meaning. So when we say we're in the performing and creative arts, we've been put to the test during the pandemic, right, Caroline? If we're going to bill ourselves as creative, that's what we need to be. And I love, speaking of that word, the Creative Artist Network, and that is also an acronym with the initials of your name, creative. Anyway, so tell us how you're operating in that framework right now.
So we are going to have a completely virtual learning experience for kids, specifically high school kids and up is what we're aiming towards, because we want to prepare these kids for college auditions or going into the real world. So Nick Lehan, Alan Wiggins, and I got together and we were like, what is the skill that we have to keep working on right now and that is so important in our industry, and it's auditioning. And I think, so we've created a course that hones in on that particular skill. And that's very adaptable for us to work with a wide array of organizations. It's a skill to audition and keeping that up and like learning who you are when you walk into a room, and celebrating your own individuality is what's gonna really help you to thrive in this industry. And so we decided we really wanted to come up with a course that like can celebrate individuality and then teach these kids how to represent themselves to the best of their ability. And we're really excited about it because also, you know, it's a pivot for us because we weren't doing as much teaching before the pandemic, but also it's a way to remind us, in a way, it's like selfish and also giving back at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. If you want to learn something, teach it. That's
totally.
Sure.
We go, oh, wait, what do I do when I do? Oh, my gosh, this is so, it's so good. So it's keeping it really fresh for us. So that when we go back to the industry, we're like, great, what did I teach those kids? Because I got to do that too. So it's really exciting. And Alan and I have already started doing quite a bit of teaching. And it's been like very fulfilling. And I'm definitely not done performing in my life. And I can say that for Alan. We're just getting started in the industry, but it's been really fun. And I love my students and like getting to know them and then really like making it individual to every single student. And that's what's so important in this industry in particular, is like we have to celebrate people's individuality and make sure we're like bringing that out of them. And I think about programs that maybe I was missing growing up, and how can we like fill in the gaps of what we didn't have when we were kids. And so it's very cool. And we're also best friends. So like we get together and we get to be creative, obviously virtually, because we can't be together. And I call this Nick Lehan's love child, because he called us up and said, guys, this is our time to work together. And we were like, okay, Nick. And he's been so motivated and so like fueling for us to like get this going. And it's like, we have a beautiful website that Nick Lehan designed, and it's www.thecreativeartistnetwork.com.
Okay, and we'll give that another blurb at the end too.
Wonderful.
So actually, Alan, how are you reaching your students? Okay, I get you have this website. All right, but there's got to be more. So how are you finding the students for this?
Well, we're doing a combination of, it is 2020, so we have an Instagram handle as well,
yeah.
Creative Artist Network, where we're trying to just advertise. And because Caroline and I and Nick have been performing for a number of years, we've gained a few followers and things like that. So hoping that they choose to come to us and learn from us, but we've also created relationships. We're in talks with Howard County Public Schools and
Good.
Baltimore Cappies and other theater institutions and just main schools, like normal schools in the area, because we all know that in any budgetary crisis, the first thing to go is the arts, unfortunately. And so if schools are having a hard time figuring out how to do their normal curriculum, the last thing on their minds is going to be the theater class, or how are we going to do this year's musical? You know, and so if we can fill that void, we can come to a school district or a principal or a theater teacher and say, you have a lot on your plate. This is all new for everyone. We have created this virtual opportunity to continue your students' growth. That's really our pitch, you know, for schools and things like that. So we do have two classes that we're offering on the website right now. The first is a one-week class that's September 14th, 16th, and 17th. That's a Monday, okay. Wednesday, Thursday. And then we have a four-week class that's going to be Tuesdays and Thursdays for 4 weeks in October. I believe that starts October 2nd. I may be wrong on the date, but whatever the first Tuesday in October is, that's when we start. And so, yeah, I just encourage your listeners, if it's interesting to you, go to our website, reach out with questions if you have them, and look for us in your schools, because we might be there before you know it.
I certainly hope so. So are you only offering classes for high school and up? Are there classes for younger children? And what is the end up? Am I at the up?
Well, I mean, we're taking it on a case-by-case basis. We really want to be working with high schoolers because we want to be working with students who are really thinking about the next step in the career.
Yes, all right. Sure.
And we've got to get to Tim to talk about mainstream musicals because he wants to promote that. I've listened to one of the radio shows. It was delightful. It was narrated by the famous actor Hal Linden. So friends are important here, right, Tim?
Oh, yes, friends are important. Hal and I met when we played, when I was his son in the Rothschilds back in 1971, I think it was. And that family has been friends ever since. As a matter of fact, in the excerpt that we're going to hear, Chris Sarandon, who was my brother in the Rothschilds, is playing one of the parts. Let me give you the website.
Yes.
Because the website is where everything that Main Street does is housed. Main Street Musicals, it's kind of one long word, Main Street Musicals, all three words are one, .org is our official location where you can submit a musical or you can hear all the musicals that we have in the archive or learn about other projects that we've done along the way. MainStreetMusicals.com is only the library. And it has an annex called the Audio Stages Annex, which you can click on into and go into, and that's where all these radio musicals are going to be housed, and you can listen to them for free forever. And I mean forever, as time goes
on. That answers our question of what's going on for the future, so.
That's right. I do want, if you don't mind, to recognize Steve Blanchard and Judy McLean and Patrick Ryan Sullivan, who play the featured parts in these
things. And we all know that Steve Blanchard is a local boy, too. He's from
Yes, that's right.
Toby's.
And he does a brilliant job as Doc Holliday. I mean, brilliant, as you'll hear.
Thank you to all our guests for being creative, for taking that pivot, and for making things happen during this time. We're just honored to have you. And please give us one more time the information so people can reach out. Caroline, tell us one more time.
Our website is www.thecreativeartistnetwork.com. And our Instagram handle is @thecreativeartistnetwork.
Perfect. And Tim, one more time.
I don't have any Instagram stuff because I'm too old.
Well, that's all right. Don't worry. Tell us whatever information you want to tell us.
I have a website where, and I think the important website for people to go to and listen to the stuff is mainstreetmusicals.com, which is a website where we have all the shows that you'd be interested in listening to. Scripts are of it that you can read. You can listen to all the songs. It's great.
Thank you. It's Judy Templeton, Carolyn Kellerman on Razzle Dazzle Radio. We're keeping the razzle dazzle in radio. Thank you so much, Tim, Caroline, and Alan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.